This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com and the director of the World Sweeping Association. I'm speaking with Scott Sarofsky, who is a principal at World Insurance Associates. You may well know of Scott and his place in the pavement insurance business. He's been providing really the central provider of pavement-related insurance products for 27 years. The work that he has done has earned him many distinctions, including that of being installed into the Pavement Hall of Fame. And Scott today is going to be talking to us about what really is a crisis that is coming on to the sweeping industry as well as other parts of the pavement industry, which is errors by drivers that are creating enormous, in some cases, claims just because they haven't been well trained or they're making lapses or for whatever reason, serious claims are being made because of their action or inaction. So, Scott, welcome to the podcast. So I'll just give you the lead here and talk about what you've seen from your kind of arching overview of what's going on in the insurance business right now.
Thanks for the opportunity, Ranger. Appreciate it always. It's good speaking with you. In all the years that I've providing industry-specific insurance products and services to the pavement maintenance community, I mean, initially starting out specifically with the power sweeping community, I've seen an evolution of in various aspects of these operations as it relates to insurance. The more specific and recent events that we've encountered over the last, I would say now, 5-6 years, is an increase in propensity of incidents that or we can make direct correlation to operator error. Mind you, and there's a caveat to that, we consider in our business incidents that can be prevented and to not be designated as an accident. Those are incidents. Accidents are things that happen that are beyond any one person or person's control. Fairly a global description of incidents versus accidents. So with that said, there's been an evolution in over the years, the 27 plus years that I've been doing this, where we've seen specific related occurrences that we can make a direct correlation to operators' ability to be able to implement certain protocols that would maybe have been able to prevent some of these occurrences, and I can identify what those are specifically. But I just want to just maybe back up a little bit and speak about some of the things that have been introduced into everyday lives of, you know, just general operation of motor vehicles, whether it be power sweepers, private passenger vehicles, whatever the vehicle may be. Today with technology, obviously, there's a greater propensity or percentage of operators that are using handheld devices while they're operating a vehicle, i.e. cell phones or tablets, things of that nature. So those types of things are what we call contributors to distracted driving. That in and of itself we find to be one of the leading causes today of all types of vehicle accidents, mainly rear-end events, rear-end where somebody has their eyes off the road for a small percentage of time, which would increase the probability of having a rear-end collision. And again, this is not only specific to the operators that are operating pavement maintenance equipment. It also could be contributing by other motorists that may have a direct relation to those accidents where they also, the passing motors, could have caused an incident.
Let me interrupt for just a sec. There are camera systems you can put on the driver and, as well as GPS systems that are within the vehicle so that you can tell if somebody's braking hard or speeding and those kinds of things. Is that something that can be done? I mean, how do you see addressing that sort of thing? It sounds like the incidents of that's well on the rise.
Yes, here are the real components. Distracted driving, sleep deprivation is another critical issue that the industry faces, where obviously, in the payment maintenance world, a lot of the work that's performed is done off-peak hours or shift work. So operators that may have not gotten the amount of sleep that's needed in order for them to perform their duties on during waking hours, all of those things are contributors. So, and then obviously, effective training and coaching of operators to address these concerns are all components that we've seen to have contributing effects to increasing these events over the years. So, to your point, we have also, from a remedy standpoint, yes, the in-cab camera systems, and there's many of them out there, that capture when an operator, captures before the event and some seconds after the event, it'll capture hard braking, hard turning, hard acceleration, or lack thereof that may have, when an event occurred, it'll capture those triggers, if you will, that will be on footage. And then it's a cab, in-cab facing camera and an out-cab facing camera, so that if the operator was on a cell phone at the time of the incident, it would capture that. So these are all tools today that a company can implement to help mitigate some of that exposure, some of those potential claims scenarios.
That makes sense. Are there other kind of mitigations that you would discuss,
yes,
you know, in terms of driver training, meetings, requirements? It
yes.
seems like they should be signing something that says they'll never use a handheld device while driving, for example.
Yes, and that's a good point. And a lot of companies have implemented driver training and managing protocols where, in order, when they hire an operator, they go through a training process, the operator signs off on what those protocols are and what the things are that they're agreeing to within their scope of work duties. So, and yes, one of those, and I've seen many of those company driver sign-off sheets, and one of those is, yes, that they will not be using handheld devices or any other sort of device that would lead towards distracted driving. So all of those things are components, but what we find, Ranger, inevitably, is the things that work are the continuing of those, not just a one-time, show-and-tell or one-time training session for the operators, but the continuing of reinforcing those protocols into the driver pool are critical in helping to mitigate future events. The other thing now, the associations, a lot of the associations for these industries have developed educational material that we strongly encourage, whether it be the pavement maintenance community, in the paving world, and the line stripe seal coat world, join those associations, take advantage of those educational materials and training programs. The association,
the different kinds of trainings that are
involved. Yes, different kinds of training. Exactly. Right.
And so I know NAPSA provides a certified program, and
yes,
there's also
yes.
employee training that was spearheaded by them, and I'm not sure if that's under their purview or not, the actual training, but we can link that information.
Yes.
As part of the article. A question I have is, if you have a disclaimer as part of your hiring process and you disclaim that, can you disclaim that we're not liable for accidents that occur when it has been shown that you were on the phone or something like that? I mean, is there any kind of...
Unfortunately, having an operator sign off on the fact that they will adhere to those procedures and protocols, safety protocols that the company implements for them, that doesn't absolve the company or the individual operator from any liabilities. It is an in-house checks and balances program, if you will, for the employer to insist and mandate that the employees adhere to those certain protocols. But there's nothing really that anybody can sign off on that will mitigate any liabilities back to them in the event that there is an incident. But again, to your point, bring back the Certified Sweeper Operator program that NAPSA has recently adopted for members and non-members in the sweeping community. It's important for companies to start recognizing those training programs because they were built and developed by their brethren, by their peers, that, and all of the components of those training modules address all of the pain points for which the sweeping, power sweeping community and other pavement maintenance related operations have experienced over the years. So those we find going forward will be recognizable, and yes, those training programs will assist in helping in defending cases going forward that may be brought against a company for any event or incident.
Any kind of an accident. And if you have a camera in your cab or a recording device that is indeed recording fast braking or, you know, whatever else, speeding and so forth, and can record an incident, as you talked about, however many seconds or minute before the accident occurred and then the accident itself and what's following on with that, it seems like that would be just an excellent defense in court if, in fact, you're driver it wasn't his fault.
Yes it is. And remember, it's not always our fault, and that's a good point that you make, because a lot of times, you know, because of the type of operation, especially the power sweeping community and somewhat the extent of the pavement maintenance, the milling operations, our equipment operates at a very slow operating range, you know, 8 to 12 miles an hour for a power sweeper. And with that said, we're also, subject to being involved in incidents for which are not our fault, but yet in a lot of cases we may be blamed or accused of being at fault for those incidents. So it is critically important that companies start to consider as part of an investment in helping them reduce their incidents, and also in the long run we believe will have a direct effect on lowering their insurance costs by making the investments in these drive cam systems. And again, drive cam systems, or I should say vehicle and operator monitoring systems, they're not there to take 24/7 footage of the operator's behavior. What it's there for is to, when there's a triggered event, or to capture that event in advance, hopefully, of an accident occurring. And then when those reports are given to the employer or the driver management team, they can then take a proactive approach by saying, hey, by the way, this driver had this hard braking or hard turning or a near miss on something. Then there can be preemptive coaching of those operators or operator in advance to help prevent something possibly from happening. So not only do those systems capture actual events, they capture the trigger point of an operator's performance such that they can get ahead of the curve and effectively coach the operator so something doesn't happen, turn into an accident.
At the World Sweeping Association, I know we have a safety bulletin that goes out once a month from John Miola. And one of the things that I haven't really known how to deal with when I edit that and make it a little more suitable for the sweeper operators is that they have, through their system, they have a conference call with the people in their network every month. And one of the things they talk about is near misses. And he talks about the importance of cataloging these near misses so they can train everybody by somebody's near miss. And I know that it's a natural human nature not to want to say, "Whoa, boy, I almost got in an accident today." You might tell your fellow driver, but you're probably going to be a little afraid to tell management that. And yet he stresses how very critically important it is to know about all the near misses so everybody can know and the operation can know about the near misses and then not do that behavior.
That's a really good point. And I was just at a sweeping contractors driver training session, and that's exactly one of the methods that they used in their training session of all the drivers. Was there were some recent incidences of some of their coworkers that were near misses or actual events, that they used those events to show the other operators that, look, this happened with this operator, and that same operator was actually in the room. But it wasn't to denigrate the operator, it was to use that situation as an example for what the other operators should not do or should do to prevent situation like that from occurring to them. Yes, you're right.
It's important then that you have a supportive environment that you build so that when somebody brings a near miss, you don't say, well, you know, you clawed, how stupid is that, that sort of thing. Instead, you use that in a positive fashion. But back to the drive cams, the drive cam is going to be an independent arbiter of that, and there might well be things that are going on with your operators that they don't even know that they're doing it wrong. They're not aware.
Exactly. And that's a good point. And one of those, believe it or not, is sleep deprivation. A lot of the incidences that we've experienced with sleep deprivation related claims, accidents, is it actually showed the sweeper operator, because it picks up the operator's activity in the cab just prior to the actual event occurring. So it actually shows that operator, nodding off, the head drooping and dipping, the eyes closing in advance of the actual event. In some cases, luckily, the operator may have hit a curb line or something like that to jolt them back awake again before an event happened. But the best part of it was that the camera captured that situation. So then it can be transposed over to an upload to the driver management team to be able to take and use that, again, to train the entire driver pool and then coach that specific operator.
What brings up to me is that keeps the driver from saying, oh, yeah, a deer ran out in front of me.
And mind you that the drive cam systems do two things. It's not there to be a policing tool or a bad tool. It's a good tool. It's a positive tool to help train because it helps both the operator and management. Now, to your point on the defense side, let's say we were actually at fault. People say, well, I don't want a picture of an event where we were actually, it shows that our drivers or we were at fault. Contrary to that, the insurance industry has proven that when they are actually at fault and a drive cam system picks up and documents that to be the fact, it allows the insurance company to quickly go to provide an expeditious defense and not have a long, what we call defense tail on a claim where they have to go through sometimes not only months, but in some cases years of going through discovery and determination of facts of the case of the incident. This camera footage can actually get the insurance company defense team and plaintiff's team to the table quickly and make those settlements without incurring additional expenses to do so. It's not a bad thing when a company is found to be at fault. It actually can be a positive thing.
I would assume that the material, whatever's on a drive cam, in the case of an accident, you would have to provide that to all sides if it exists, right?
Yes, it would. Okay. Yes, it is. It's definitely just like in an accident. A lot of drivers are unaware that the minute there's any indication of, you know, handheld device or cell phone or tablet device usage, those phone records can be subpoenaed by defense and plaintiff's teams as well. So when somebody says, no, I wasn't on my phone, well, be fully aware that your cell phone records are subject to subpoena, so that they can get the record to determine, in fact, was there a call in or out made at the time of the incident. So all of those things are things that are captured and can be used. And again, in a positive way, these systems are used to help mitigate future events.
One of the problems, and I don't know that you have the information to address this, but one of the problems is a low wage rate. And we have operators that are working at night predominantly. they're not making enough money to pay their bills, or they don't believe they are, and so forth. They want extra income. So they're also working, taking second jobs, in some cases a third job, during the day. And then now they're going out at night with, you know, sleep deprived, or running a sweeper at night. I don't know if there's any way or mechanism to keep that from happening, to say, if you work for me, you can't have another job, or another job can't exceed this many hours as part of your employment agreement, or not.
That's a very good point, Ranger, and that's another evolution that I've witnessed over these 27 years or so providing this insurance to the industry. We're starting to see, and I don't have specific numbers that can tie to that scenario that the industry has been experiencing, but I can tell you this, that in speaking with power sweeping companies and other pavement maintenance companies across the United States, and again, we've provided our insurance program to all 50 states, it used to be more geographically specific, where getting drivers, training drivers, and retaining quality drivers in this industry segment, in some cases, was again, very geographically challenging. In more of the metropolitan areas of the country, it was a challenge back then. But now, in the last 5 or 6 years, I've seen it where now I can call up a sweeping company in Utah versus one in New York State or in Florida. And the common theme that we hear today are drivers, drivers, drivers. We can't get them. It's hard to keep them. It's even harder to train and get them to perform. I hear part of the reason for that is these employers are challenged with having to work under a very tight operating budget, if you will. One of the things that I keep hearing is that, you know, we can only get so much for a sweep. We still have to pay for the fuel, the cost of the equipment, the maintenance, the insurance, all of the direct related costs, you know, for a sweeper to turn the key and get on the road and operate. But the margins that these companies are working under, and again, this is not any one specific geographic area. Today, it seems to be a common theme that in every state, in every jurisdiction, these companies are challenged with how can we work under these tight operating budgets and these profit margins and pay the pay scales for which we really need to pay to get quality drivers and keep quality drivers and be able to implement the training programs and pay for those training programs to attract these drivers. So I think what the industry really starts to need to look at globally for the industry itself, not any one specific member of the industry, but I think the industry has to start working on ways to be able to demonstrate to their client base that they need to get a rate that's higher than what they're getting now, and not to be so internally competitive amongst themselves, such that the rates are driven down to the point where they can't attract the better driver pools. So the other thing I hear related to this issue is, well, you know, I get a good driver, I train the driver, I pay for all these training programs, we offer them benefits. Next thing you know, in the minute that they're at that level, they go out, take their resumes to other driver-related type companies for higher pay scales, they leave. Yes, and mind you, again, the other challenge, our industry works not a clean environment. Yes, the equipment today is so much more advanced, so much safer, so much cleaner. It provides the operator a better work environment today. The industry, the manufacturing sector of this industry has done a phenomenal job because, I've seen that on the safety aspect of some of this equipment and also on the performance of the equipment. They've done a phenomenal job in offering better equipment out there to the contractor segment. Again, it comes down to the industry, I think, is going to have to do something for itself to get the price levels up to the point where they can now be more competitive in their driver pools and attracting and retaining better drivers.
You can have a non-compete agreement, but that's not going to mean that the guy can't go drive for UPS or something like that. It just means he couldn't go drive for another sweeping contractor.
Yeah, and that doesn't even hold up. That's even difficult at times. Because, look, if they can make more, but again, It seems to be universal today, Ranger. These sweepers are being challenged in many ways by third-party property providers that manage the services contracts that are let to the service sector for their properties. The industry associations all need to get together and really, because again, this is a universal issue that I hear all across the country, that the sweeping community, the pavement maintenance community in general, needs to do something for its members to be able to globally reach out to the customer base and say, look, we got to get our price levels up. All of us have to get them up and really start to make that a priority such that now they are in a better position to attract and retain their driver pools. Because what I hear is with these price levels and these margins that we have to work under, we always have to reach to the bottom of the barrel in most cases to get drivers. It's hard enough. Like you said, it's a shift-related work industry. They work at nights. They work off peak hours. In many cases, there's dusty conditions and different environmental conditions.
There's no question. We've had a problem in somehow branding the fact that if somebody belongs to an association, that should make a difference. And to a third-party vendor or to the people that hire third-party vendors especially, let alone to the regular, you know, clientele base, they don't really differentiate. We haven't found a way to really differentiate the value proposition if somebody belongs to an association. How do you show that? How do you prove it?
Yes, it is. And I will say this, and I think you're fully aware of it, and I know you made recognition and mention of it. NAPSA embarked upon not only developing and implementing this Certified Sweeper Operator training program, which, again, I believe to be, this is going to be a catapult for insurance companies as a whole. Not any one specific insurance company, but insurance companies as a whole, because they're looking at that in other industries, especially wheels-based industries, about what training programs are available for these operators. But to that point, now let's take it over to the industry itself and being able to present itself to their customer base, the third-party property providers and the property owners and managers, if you will. Also, NAPSA is worked on over the last few years is developing, coming soon to fruition, is an ANSI certification program, which, as you know, is the American National Standards Institute. Well, the ANSI certification programs have worked wonders for other service-based industries, so that those are basically a set of best practices that are tailored to that any one specific industry niche, so that once those things are in place, or once those standards are adopted by any of the members, if you will, they can take that to the customer base and say, look, we hold ourselves to a higher standard, just like the HVAC contractors that work on your buildings, or the electrical contractors that may come in and work on your building, or roofing contractors that work in your building. They're ANSI certified because we've set a higher standard and we adhere to these best practices, and those are verifiable because you can't get a certification unless you go through the various training modules in order to earn those designations. So I think these are all components and things that the industry is doing to enhance their position to their customer base. And then that in turn should be recognized by the customer base to be able to then get the level of pricing up that's needed to be able to provide those enhanced service products and services.
That all makes perfect sense. Just to underscore the difficulty with drivers right at the moment, I just completed an article that will be appearing in Pavement Magazine. As part of my research, I learned that there are currently, along with this lowest unemployment rate really in modern times, we have 7.1 million non-farm positions that are available that are going begging that you can't find an employee for. That's the difficulty. You have all of these options available to employees right now at the start of 2019 that are competing. So it's a difficulty.
Yes, it is, and that compounds the issue, obviously, This isn't just what we see on the inside with statistical information from insurance claims. This is talking directly with various contractors from all geographic locations and around the country, that it is becoming increasingly difficult for them with their driver pools. And the drivers ultimately are the lifeblood of their operations, because not only are they charged with taking care of and maintaining a very expensive and complex piece of equipment, but they're also charged with performing the level of service for which their employer demands of them and also is delivering to the customer. So there's a lot of challenges in many ways. You know, it's just not, you know, I always say that our industry segment is so much more complex because we're not just making a delivery, you know, with a delivery service like a, you know, UPS or a FedEx, where we go A to B, here's a package, sign off, I delivered your package. I think there's so many more critical components to payment maintenance equipment operator, especially power sweeping, that lends itself to having to develop these drivers on a more complex basis in training.
So to kind of recap, there's really no magic bullet going on here. What we are in somewhat of a crisis in terms of insurance. The insurance carriers have been hit hard anyway because of natural disasters increasing and so forth. They're looking at the less profitable aspects of their business and really giving that a close look. And when you see that we have a higher incidence level. I have heard from some sweeping contractors that have had an accident that they are having trouble even getting insurance. There's really not a magic bullet, it doesn't sound like, but there are a number of things you can do. You can do driver training, you can do driver certification, you can do drive cam, you can do a near-miss program. And I would think in that also, you know, put a suggestion box out there somewhere for operators to perhaps anonymously offer suggestions of how the operation could be made safer, not only for driving, but, you know, in other ways. The real difficulty, it appears to me, is to be able to, whether it's ANSI or the fact that we've gone to driver training or we've been certified by somebody, is to get third-party vendors especially to care. And I don't think you're going to get the third-party vendors are not going to care until the people that hire them care, until the Home Depot and Targets of the world will say, here are the only operators we will entertain for our position, and they have to be willing to pay more. Unfortunately, most of the time, it doesn't cost the actual employer, the Home Depot, the Target, the third party, the whoever it is, when there's an accident. It costs the sweeper operator, the sweeping contractor.
Right.
That's where the money is charged in. So they must charge enough money to where they not only are making a profit, but they can provide these different training programs and drive cams and take the time to make sure everybody signs something that says you can't use any handheld devices and so forth. So not a magic bullet, but a variety of different actions that can be taken that ultimately, you know, make a difference on the margin.
No, without a doubt, and that's a good point. I think there's a combination of things that should be implemented in order to achieve, you know, those goals. And again, I speak to the fact that the industry, and the industry is doing between, you know, your organization, NAPSA, the 800 Pavement Organization, 800 Sweeper, all the organizations have done a great job heretofore in providing educational material to their membership, trying to enhance whatever industry they represent, to enhance those members' services back to the client base. But I think now the thrust has to be that these associations and organizations have to take it a step further with all of these new, you know, implementations and training programs and all these things, as you mentioned. It's incumbent upon now for these organizations to go to the customer segment and say, look, this is the direct effect that our membership or our industry segment being subject to with regards to increased cost relative to their insurance, to their, and it's not just, it's just general insurance. It could be the medical insurance, everything, the increased cost of equipment and maintenance and repairs, all of those direct costs have a direct effect on the bottom line for these companies. Therefore, that's why I say the price levels, we're kind of working in the Stone Ages, and I hear this from the contractors, on our price points for delivering these services to the customer bases. And in some cases, it's even disturbing to hear, oh, well, sweeping is really our loss leader now. We really don't make money on it. We make money on the ancillary services being delivered to the customer. Well, that should not be the case. It should be contrary to that, I believe, because, heck, if you're, let's say, providing sweeping, and you're also maybe doing some landscaping at the same facility, well, I know it costs a hell of a lot more to buy a sweeper than it does for a lawnmower. And it also costs a lot more to train and pay a driver of a sweeper than it does to pay somebody to push a lawnmower. I'm somewhat bothered by that thought process of, well, that's our law. And granted, yes, there's providing all other ancillary services to a property owner or provider is a way of the times, and that's, again, a new evolution that used to be just sweepers just swept. Now I see sweepers providing all kinds of products and services to their customer base, and that was born, I think, over the years as a demand by the customer for one-stop shopping. But that, again, I think should be a reason why the industry and the associations and the membership organizations for this industry segment really needs now to help their membership and help the industry get that message to the box stores, the third-party property. All of that has to be an initiative, a global initiative.
One of the problems, I think, with that is the associations right now combined probably don't have 1, 2% of the entire universe of sweeper operators belong to these associations. So they don't even, at the moment, have money that they can put out there that might be a dollar a day to put into an association where they can learn something. And, I mean, at World Sweeping Association, we've got 250 training-type articles that are available, as well as, a variety of other information. But they have to actually not only be a member, but now do they have time to train, to learn, to read what we send out to them every 2 weeks. We send a bulletin. But are they going to click on the link? So they're going to actually do this? And that's why I think the ANSI certification, may make a difference to the more sophisticated customers. But I'm still wary, I guess, that the average strip mall operator is going to care about anything other than how did it look when the manager got there in the morning and what was the price per sweep. Did they actually show up?
Right.
So I think that's the challenge.
Well, you're right, and that is a challenge and has been. But I think now some of these new initiatives will allow, I think what's got to start happening, Ranger, and you're 100% correct, I think now it has to be more of a global approach that, look, this is what the industry standard's going to be. These are going to be basically the price points. And again, it varies in different geographic areas for various reasons. But overall, the level of all that has to come up another notch or two.
Right. But how many years have we been saying this too, Scott?
I know that. And that's the pain I'm starting to hear also from various countries that, we keep preaching, but it always goes back to the old edge. Well, now we're back into the competitive stage. We're competing, for pennies on a contract. So, but I think in time, and I really believe this, if these initiatives start to set a standard within the industry, I think the industry overall, once they start adopting these things, the message will get out. Well, you can call 5 other sweeping companies down the road, but these sweeping companies are pretty much going to be in line because they're all adopting the same set of standards.
That's the part we need.
Yeah, exactly. That's the next challenge for these groups or associations, for all the segments of the pavement maintenance community.
Yep.
You always hear the old chuck with a truck at it. We have to try to get the industry to do away with that perception within their customer base, for their customer base.
So the message, how do we leave this, leave folks with this, is to investigate the options that you can. We'll put a drive cam or two link on, on the article, links to the associations. But really the message, I think, is to, and perhaps work with your insurance company, your insurance agent, ask them, see what kind of training materials they might have as well, because that'll make them happy. Ask them, if you put your drivers through a training program, will that affect their insurance rates to get a better rate and so forth? And we're keeping to work.
Yeah, you're exactly. And I think it's, again, I speak universally. It's critically important that all the contractors in this industry segment, power sweeping, all of them, pavement maintenance related contracting segment, it's incumbent that, I always hear insurance is in the top three of the income statement as far as the you know, the expense item.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's number two when you fold in the benefit side, the health and medical, you know, and all of that. So it's incumbent upon the contractor to work with their agent and have that agent work with whatever insurance company that they're affiliated with or attempting to be affiliated with, and have them succinctly convey the message that these are the things that the insured is doing. These are the things that are available to them. These are the things that are going to be engaging in to make their operation a safer and better operation. But then it's also incumbent upon the contractor to take advantage of all of these training tools and all of this educational information, implement it across their whole, not just the driver pool, but their management team, their maintenance team, all of the company personnel. Again, the thing that I see that works and the thing that I see that doesn't work and hasn't worked, it has to be repetitive. If it's a one-time notification or one-time, you know, deal with their employee base, if it's not repetitive, then it's not effective. That's the commonality. If I haven't found anything over these 27 years, that's the thing that is the companies that have improved their operations, improved their safety records, is that they continually implement and are repetitive with those protocols.
Well, I think that's a very good place to leave our conversation. Covered it. And another interview I'd like to do with you in the future is the contracts. And that's another area that I think the industry really needs some, is to have a standardized contract addendum that pulled out to say, you know, we are not liable for all of these different things that malls try to get them to be liable for. So another day, I hope you
exactly.
come back and we can talk about that. I know that you're also very conversant in that area. But again, it's difficult if you have a lesser liability contract that you offer and to get the third-party vendor or whoever to insist to make themselves more liable. So that's another thing for another day.
The risk transfer issue and contractual liability is another strong pain point for the industry and the insurance company. So, yes.
No question. We've been speaking with Scott Sorosky. For 27 years, has been involved with the pavement industry in terms of being the leading insurance professional. He is a principal at World Insurance Associates. His contact information is in the article that is with this. But are you comfortable with having your mobile out there, Scott?
Most definitely. Yeah, almost everybody I think in this industry already has it.
I think so.
And that's not a bad thing. I welcome that.
It's 914-714-0787, and you can reach Scott at Scott Sorosky, Scott with two T's, Cerosky at worldins.net. So thank you very much for your time, Scott, and I really appreciate the heads up, and this is bound to help a number of sweeping contractors.
I hope so, and thank you, Ranger. You've done a phenomenal job for this industry over all your years of service as well.
Much appreciated. Thanks. It's a kind of a mutual admiration society, I guess.